God bless the dramatic reading of his word this morning. Well, good morning. Happy Pentecost Sunday. You know, in years past, this Sunday's always been a full congregation as we gather people at the front for prayer instead of Eucharist. We've always had prayer over family units, praying for the infilling of the Holy Ghost and the leading of the Holy Ghost in the lives of our people. And so I'm sure many of you are missing that today, but just imagine in your mind that you are here among us, and we will pray for you at the end of this sermon this morning. Pentecost. I don't know that any word really causes more consternation and explosiveness in the church worldwide, or has in years past, than the word Pentecost. If you were to say, "I'm Pentecostal," people might look at you like you had three heads, or you were, from the dramatic reading, from the back hills of Galilee, or you must have been from Belhaven or someplace else in Canada that nobody's heard. For those of you that are watching from St. Paul's, and if you're not watching from St. Paul's, I grew up in the Pentecostal church. That was my background. I've been here at St. Paul's since 1998, so close to a third of my life has been in the Anglican church. Some of you affectionately tell me I am now an Anglicostal. And I will take that. I'm very proud of that. I'm pleased about that. I recall as a teenager, we were going to a church in Agincourt that we had helped found. We had originally gone to the Stone Church at 45 Davenport Road in downtown Toronto. And we moved to Scarborough and started a church on McCowan Road in, I forget the name of the school, just north of the 401. Then went to the Agincourt Community Center. Then went across Shepherd, across from what was then Foster Pontiac Buick, to what was affectionately known as the Chicken Coop. It was a long, narrow tunnel of a building that had in fact been a chicken coop. It had been a storage unit for potatoes. And then, of all things, it became a Pentecostal church. You would probably think that from those humble beginnings, what could ever become of it? But it has become the Agincourt Pentecostal Church at Kennedy Road, just north of Steeles, right? No, Finch, north of Finch. And so it's grown into a huge congregation. I recall through those years that we had many visitors. We had young people come. There was a school or a church right beside the school that I went to public school in. And they'd gone through, one minister had retired, and they got another minister from the States, and he began to really lambaste the Pentecostal doctrine and Pentecostals. And lo and behold, we had all these young people come to, it was Shepherd Gospel Temple then, they all showed up there for church. I'm back. They all showed up there for church. And most of them didn't go back to that other church. One of them loved to speak to the others at church and said, "Oh, it's wonderful there with those people. You should see, they roll in the aisles and they do double flips from the chandeliers. It's just an amazing circus." And of course, she was being tongue-in-cheek and facetious. But to say Pentecostal or the Holy Spirit is much more than just those kind of illustrations that people have thought for many years. I would say I was raised as a classic Pentecostal, part of a denomination that began in the early 1900s. I guess that denomination began in the 1930s. And probably part of the classic Pentecostals. And then came along another wave of Pentecostals. It began with an Episcopalian priest, really, the Reverend Dennis Bennett. He wrote a book, 9 o'clock in the morning, and he was wanting more of God. And so he went to a prayer meeting. And he said he wanted more of God. He just didn't want all that tongue stuff. And so he was praying. And he says in his book that he prayed like for 15 or 20 minutes and thought, oh boy, this is getting long. And then he kept praying and then got quiet and then something started coming. And he thought, oh my goodness. And he began to speak in another tongue. And he said, it wasn't gibberish. I know it wasn't gibberish. It had syntax. It had diction. It was another language. And then following that, there was a movement in the 70s and 80s. The Holy Spirit was outpoured in Lutheran churches, Anglican churches, churches all over the world. And so I'd like to speak to you just for a moment about the gifts of the Spirit. It's more than just tongues. Maybe some of you have visited a Pentecostal church and felt very uncomfortable, although I doubt that you'd visit a Pentecostal church today and feel uncomfortable. Did I say that? I didn't say that. In the past, people have visited and felt extremely uncomfortable when somebody would get anointed. They'd call it anointed. And they'd start shouting out in tongues. There's much more than that. Paul speaks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit divided into 3 different groups. The gifts of knowing. And it begins with the word of wisdom. And that's not just something that you go to university and study. It's wisdom that you may have no idea what's going on, but the Holy Spirit drops it into you. And you speak these words and see that they come to pass almost instantly. The gift of knowledge. That's not just how you've trained your brain, but knowledge sent from the Spirit of God. And the discerning of spirits. Again, Paul says in another chapter, there are so many voices in the world today. And I think we would have to agree with that today. There are many voices in the world this day. And none of them without distinction. So how do you know what's really going on? You pray for the discerning of spirits that you may know. So the gifts of knowing, those 3, wisdom, knowledge, and discerning of spirits. The gifts of doing, faith. That's not just faith for salvation, where if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. The gift of faith, it's supernatural faith. The gifts of healing. It's not going to the doctor. That's praying for the sick and they do recover. And the working of miracles. So the gifts of doing, faith, healing, the gifts of healing, and the working of miracles. And then the gifts of speaking, prophecy. And prophecy, I've heard it explained that prophecy is just simply preaching today. And I would strongly say, no, it is not. Prophecy, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And then in verse 31 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, but covet earnestly the best gift. What's the best gift? The gift that's most needed in any situation. I've given you 9. It's the best gift that you need at that particular time. There's one verse of scripture that I love and I think of very often. It's found in Jude 1:20. But, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And the whole picture there is charging a battery, where a battery's dead and you hook it up to a charger and charge it up and it builds up its faith. Building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So today, happy Pentecost Sunday. Let's pray. And just imagine, if you will, as you're sitting there watching TV, that you've come to the altar rail, and one or all of us are gathered around you, laying hands on you. And so together we pray. Father, we ask this day that you would fill my friend with your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, be all they need this very moment. And we'll praise you in Christ's name.